This is Henry Banks, producer and host of People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on the show today, Ramona Marr. She is a member of the Native American Journalists Association and a producer at CBS3 in Duluth. She joins me to talk about NAJA and an upcoming fundraiser for that organization. Also on the show, Vern Northrup and Mary Gilliard from the American Indian Community Housing Organization. We close the show tonight with a celebration of Black music. June is Black Music Month in America. Have a great evening, and thanks for listening to People of Color, coming up after this news.
Welcome to People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Henry Banks. Thanks for joining us this evening. I am here tonight with Ramona Marr. She is a Native American journalist, a professional woman in the Twin Ports. I say it that way because she is doing some really great things in the community already, brand new to the community, I believe, and is making a difference in the work that she does in the Twin Ports in the journalism world. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Henry. I've been working for several years at CBS3 in Duluth and just recently starting to do fundraising events with the community, as you said, recently new on that. So thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So before we really get into the heart of why you're here, let's talk about the Native American Journalist Association. What is the Native American Journalist Association?
It's a really good question. The Native American Journalist Association is headquartered in Oklahoma. Every year they have an annual conference that brings in young Native Americans and encourages them. And actually, not only Native Americans, they bring in people of all different diversities, even non-minorities. And they are just encouraging young people to go into journalism. The Native American Journalist Association is committed to increasing the representation of Native journalists in mainstream media and advocating for the fair and ethical coverage of Native people, communities, and issues. So the first time I was introduced to NAJA, I was in high school. And my parents were like, you really should be doing some responsible things with your summers. So they decided to send me off to these NAJA conferences. And I admit, at first, I wanted not much to do with it. I just wanted to live out my summers and have fun. But then when I got to the conferences and the mentors were there talking about being a voice for the voiceless, how Natives make up less than 2% in newsrooms across the country, and Natives have such a strong history of storytelling. It's in our blood, and I really wanted to continue with the storytelling tradition of Native people and continue into journalism. And so I started as a student at these NAJA conferences and then became a mentor myself, and now I'm on the NAJA board. I'm a board member, and I'm also on the finance committee and fundraising committee.
So wow, it's very so you're very exciting. Busy, right?
Very busy.
So you're talking about NAJA and the work that it does. So how does it directly support and encourage Native American journalists?
Very much so. They actually place Natives in newsrooms across the country. So they will find these young Native people who are interested in journalism, get them excited, get them involved, give them journalism training, and then send their resumes to news stations across the country who are looking to fill minority spots in the newsroom, because diversity in the newsroom is very important. The NFL just recently reached out to NAJA and said, we want to hire more Native people. We want to hire more Native journalists in our NFL coverage. Mm-hmm. And so NAJA is, you know, giving them applications, sending people their way that they can consider for employment.
Mm-hmm. So you're with CBS3. Can you talk about the importance of high standards ethics and responsibility in reporting the news, especially reporting the news as it relates to communities of color?
100% important. I started here in Duluth as the, well, right now I believe I'm the only Native American working in Northland Television. And I have complete a lot of responsibility in that. Tribes, Minnesota and Wisconsin has over a dozen tribes in our CBS3 coverage area. Those tribal members will reach out to me on Facebook and say, do you know about this happening? Do you know about this happening? No, I didn't know about that happening, but I'm definitely going to check into it, maybe more so than a non-Native journalist, because I really want to tell the stories of the people. And I just was so surprised when I started working in this market 4 years ago with how many people in the newsroom really respected that I was Native and would come to me and they would say, okay, well, this protest against the Washington Redskins is happening right now in Minneapolis. What's your stance on that? Mm-hmm. Or they'll come to me about different things and ask me about my stance on that. And I know that I don't speak for every Native American, but I think that that shows a lot of respect in the newsroom for, and I'm able to bring awareness up on many Native issues within the newsroom. I am constantly surprised whenever I post a story on social media, or our news station posts a story on social media, with how much negative feedback we often get on these Native stories. It can be a positive Native story, it can be a negative Native story, but no matter what, there will definitely be some negative feedback about
it. Wow, I don't know. In your opinion, do you believe that's a part and parcel with what's going on across the country? The climate in America is really, in my opinion, not good. There seems to be a lot more fear of the other, if you will. Do you think that has something to do with it, possibly?
I would say that this has been a constant thing since I started working at the TV station for the last 4 years. 3 years ago, I thought I was so discouraged by the comments coming in that were pretty, you know, racist towards the Native culture. But in your bringing up of the current climate, there's no secret that many Natives are concerned for many rights that they currently have under the current administration. That is certainly of concern. For example, I just posted on my social media page today about there being a highway project halted in the Fond du Lac neighborhood of Duluth due to some tribal members possibly thinking that a Native burial ground may be there. I put it on my social media page and somebody commented and said, Native American remains are not any more important than any other culture. Well, excuse me, was I saying that? No, I was not saying that. What I was saying was that this might be happening. And in that sense, every, you know, person is equal and all people's remains should be treated respectfully. Mm-hmm. So even just that like comment of not knowing the whole story and jumping in there and, you know, thinking right away that the tribal people might think that their remains are more important than anybody else's remains, that's not the case.
And you never suggested that at all.
No, I didn't. I just put a post out and said, we're hearing that there might be some Fond du Lac tribal members concerned about a burial ground. Does any tribal members know anything about this? Mm-hmm. That's all I said.
Absolutely. And the fact that this is Native American land, first and foremost, should make us all pay attention to these things when they come up as vitally important. Not saying that others aren't important, but vitally important.
It is vitally important, especially since Natives make up less than 2% of the United States population, and other minorities in Duluth also less than 2% of the majority population. And so I think it's a balance of being respectful towards some cultures which knowledge about them might not be readily available.
This is Henry Banks with People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. I have been in conversation with Ramona Marr. She is a member of the Native American Journalists Association. We'll be right back. This is Henry Banks with People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. I have been in conversation with Ramona Marr. She is a member of the Native American Journalists Association. A Night for the Natives is an event that's coming up. I want you to take some time, Ramona, to talk about A Night for the Natives, why it's important to have this fundraiser, and what you're hoping to achieve from it.
I'm hoping to have a lot of fun. A Night for the Natives, which everyone is welcome to. I've been organizing it since March. All of the hard work is starting to pay off and it's starting to come together. I wanted to take traditional Native performers and have them perform for a couple of nights in Duluth with some popular bands right now in Duluth. So I got... I think everybody in this area knows Al Sparhawk from Low, and he is coming with the Black Eyed Snakes and performing on July 14th at Pizza Luce.
He's a friend of mine, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
He's pretty cool, isn't he?
Yes. Yes, he is.
And he's living in Duluth.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in, Low is, I looked up and found out that it is husband-wife. They met
yes.
early on, and it's so cool that they perform together and make such beautiful music.
Absolutely.
So we get the Black Eyed Snakes before they head off to Germany a couple weeks later for a summer festival.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited to have them. That they're at Pizza Luce July 14th at midnight they perform. Then I got the Brothers Burn Mountain. I have never seen them perform in real life, but one of my close people said, if you ever get a chance to hear them perform, you have to go. So I was like, okay, I need them if I'm going to do something. I have Superior Siren that night. Laura Selner and others make up Superior Siren. I have always been a big fan of them. Just Sierra Nation, they're beautiful. Then that night we have Native veteran Reggie George. He's a Naja member and has been a mentor for a long time, and he's actually flying in from Washington to perform at this event. He said all Naja members from across the country know about this event in Duluth.
Oh, it's on the national website as well, on the Naja website.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We also have Larry Yazzie of Native Pride Dancers. They perform in the Macy Day Thanksgiving Parade all the time. They are world-renowned. They travel across the world and perform Native traditional dance. It's amazing. We have the Ashkikishkig Singers of the Fond du Lac Reservation.
Oh, yes. They're very good.
Liz Jocla always mm-hmm. connects me with booking them for these performances that we do. Actually, looking at the art on the poster, my good friend Cam Rose, who she designed the homegrown t-shirts this year. She designed a beautiful owl with the third eye to represent awareness. We also have Rick McLean, who put together the poster and did the A Night for the Natives design. July 15th event at the Red Herring, I'll just quickly say, Old Desert Road, Jamie Ness of the Boomchucks with Jim Hall, who is Native. Corey Medina and Brothers. They're Corey Medina's of the Navajo Nation, and they're coming in from Michigan. I got Ingborg von Agesses, and I am so sorry if I pronounce that incorrectly. I know her by Emma Joro, but she's awesome. She just did a fundraiser for that.
Mm-hmm.
And Catherine, Rick McLean, Alexis LeBlanc of the Crunchy Bunch. Tales of Laughing Fox, which is my friend Michael Laughing Fox, who carves flutes. He makes multiple flutes and he does flute performances. Northwood Beats, I found them on SoundCloud and I really liked the loon sounds they had, and oh, it was great.
So all of these performers are coming to participate and help with the fundraiser. Talk about it from the standpoint, what does it cost to get in? How much are you hoping to raise even?
Yeah, I have a silent auction too, so I'm hoping to raise a lot of money from that. It's going to cost $10 to get in for one night, $15 for both nights. They can buy tickets on Eventbrite or you can buy tickets at the door. I'm hoping to raise a lot of money. I have absolutely no idea what I'm hoping to raise, but if I can get into the thousands, that would be fantastic. I helped organize the Duluth Stands with Standing Rock event, and I think we made like 5,000 there. So that would be a big accomplishment to get that. I just want to quickly thank the sponsors, the Hills Youth and Family Services, with the biggest donation to the event, the University of Minnesota, University of Minnesota's American Indian Studies Department. We got KUMD 103.3. We have the American Indian Center Housing Organization of Duluth. We have the American Lung Association, and we have Seven West from Seven West Tap House. And I just quickly want to say that if you come to the event, the silent auction is going to be really fun. I have a Lake Superior Art Glass pendant that's been donated. Dan Neff of Lake Superior Art Glass, my favorite place in Duluth. Actually, right now I'm wearing the honeybee necklace. I also have like a $100 gift card for Swiftwater Adventures, which is like whitewater rafting, kayaking, or canoeing. I have a multiple casino packages where you get a free night stay and some gambling money. So if you like to gamble, I don't know about you, Henry, but I like the blackjack. Do you like to gamble?
I can't say that I do.
Good though, that's a good thing. I think that's good. We'll keep that for the big for those high roller gamblers.
There you go. That's right. So you're excited about the event. I'm hoping it's very successful for you. Is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners about the event or about yourself personally?
Yes, I want you to come to the event. I hope you have fun. Come and have a soda or have a beer. There's going to be food. It's going to pretty much come and party and listen to some traditional Native American performers mixed with modern popular performers here in Duluth. It's going to be the combination of everything happening in Duluth right now. I really can't stress the combination of Native performers and popular performers right now in Duluth. It's just, it's going to be good.
So thank you for being here, Ramona Marr. She is with CBS3, a member of the Native American Journalists Association. She has one more thing you want to say?
Yeah, I'm a member of the Bad River Band in Odena, Wisconsin. So representing Bad River Band, Wisconsin.
Thank you. That's very important. So I'm, again, hoping for a very successful event in Duluth. That is Night for the Natives. A Night for the Natives coming to Duluth in July 14th through the 16th. At various locations, please come out and support. $10 for one night, $15 for two nights. Again, thank you for being here. This is Henry Banks with People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. I have been in conversation with Ramona Marr. She is a member of the Native American Journalists Association. We'll be right back. Take this time to send a shout out to Fred Keller in Sandstone, Minnesota. Fred is from the Deep North and the Scally Line. They are debuting their new recording. This is a collection of originals that come right out of the Deep North, tales of Minnesota, old and new. The Deep North and the Scally Line. You can go to www.deepnorthmn.com for more information. That's www.deepnorthmn.com. We got orders to die. We'll switch the track over and we'll head for the freight. We'll jerk a drink from the tank and we'll sweat out the way. This is Henry Banks. Welcome back to People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm talking with Vern Northrup and Mary Villiard of the American Indian Community Housing Organization in Duluth. We are talking heavy metal, a photography exhibition and talk in downtown Duluth. I'm with Vern Northrup. He is a local and nationally known photographer. And Vern, you have a show coming up. Why don't you take a moment to talk about the show and when it's going to be held?
Okay. The name of my show is Gwaziwag Maiwabik, which is an Ojibwe term for heavy metal. And I decided to call the show that because when I do my prints, I have them printed on metal. And I like that medium for the photos that I take. Photos that I take are all done from my cell phone. And working with that, you know, as opposed to a digital camera, I only have so many options. So I found that the metal brings out the results or my photos the best.
And so are you talking to me now on a cell phone?
Yes.
You are.
Yes.
So using the cell phone to take photography and to take photos in the community, in the area, I've seen some of your photos. What type of phone do you use? I'm just curious because they come out so incredibly beautiful.
It's a Samsung. It's a 7, so it's a couple years old. And I started out, when I first started, I was using an iPhone, but I wasn't satisfied with the quality. Once you have such a, you only have so many megapixels, and when you try to blow it up from this small phone like that, you lose a lot. So I went to a higher megapixel phone, and then I'm satisfied with the results. I like it.
Absolutely. So why don't you talk a little bit about your show, when it starts, and what the opening ceremony or reception will look like?
The show is tomorrow night. It starts at 5:30 and runs from 5:30 to 7:30 on Friday, June 9th. It's here at ACO Galleries at 202 West 2nd Street in Duluth, Minnesota. And they'll have a reception. There will be like sandwiches for everybody, like lunch. And then we'll have the show, and then we're going to have an artist talk. This is the first time there's an artist talk here in these shows, so they asked me if I would be willing to do that. I said, sure, I'll talk about photos. I like talking about my photos.
Oh, that's great. So I know Mary Villiard is the arts coordinator at ACO. Would you ask her if she would like to add some more information to the show for tomorrow?
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about maybe Vern's work itself.
Sure.
Because, I guess whenever I see Vern's work, and I was just thinking of this when he was talking, and whenever he stops by and shows it to us, gives us a sneak peek when it is ACO. It's kind of got a nostalgic sort of feel to it because I think anyone who grew up on the reservation, or at least on Fond du Lac, is kind of closely tied to those natural surroundings. You kind of grow up playing in the woods and going out and just kind of exploring, and there's a lot of natural beauty. And one of the coolest things is about Vern's artwork and his photography is it really kind of captures the essence of that space and all of those different places out in nature. And there's places I feel like a lot of people are unless you grew up there, you haven't really seen before. And there's lots of like swamps and stuff out in Sawyer, and lots of insects and just interesting things. There's lots of really beautiful places out on the res.
Mm-hmm. So what are you hoping as far as people when they come to the show? What are you hoping for people to take from the show?
I just hope that they see kind of the beauty of a place that they haven't been out on the res, the beauty of that space. And for people who did grow up there, I hope they kind of get a sense of nostalgia from it. Because, I mean, a lot of people here, too, a lot of the clients that we serve, for one reason or another, ended up either in an urban area looking for work and kind of cut off from that sort of, you know, background or that sort of scenery. So it would be cool for them to sort of see that and be able to reconnect in a sense.
All right. Well, thank you for taking the time. I know it was... I just asked that you be on the show to just kind of help promote the show, and I really appreciate the work that you, Mary, do at ACO, and Vern, the work that he's done over the years in celebrating the Native American culture. Thank you for being on the show today. Here's some important events coming up in the Twin Ports that you might be interested in as a listener. It's June 9th, Heavy Metal Photography Exhibition with Vern Northrup. It's an exhibit and a talk at 5:30 p.m. in the Dr. Robert Paulus Cultural Center, 202 West 2nd Street in downtown Duluth. June 12th, Remembering Pulse, 1 year later. 6:30 p.m. in the Dr. Robert Paulus Cultural Center, 202 West 2nd Street, downtown Duluth. Juneteenth Twin Ports. The Duluth celebration is called Celebrate Freedom. It will be held on Saturday, June 17th at 12 noon, Lake Avenue and 4th Street in downtown Duluth. The Superior Juneteenth is called Roots, Rhythm, and Family. And it will be held on Sunday, June 18th at 2 p.m. in Kelly Park, 7011 Grand Avenue. Major participating partners for Superior Juneteenth are Superior Save the Kids, Superior African Heritage Community, Clayton Jackson McGee Memorial Incorporated, Fathers Rise Together, and Politics Off My Body. Also, with a tremendous amount of City of Superior and business support. Thank you. Have you heard the news? Have you heard of the Family Freedom Center? Yes, that's the Family Freedom Center. To engage, Family Freedom Center fosters positive change in systemic landscapes that directly impact our communities. To empower, Family Freedom Center empowers the Black community while being inclusive to all. To educate, Family Freedom Center teams up with community members to assist in a 12-week curriculum during the spring. For more information, contact Family Freedom Center at 218-625-1665, extension 234. Family Freedom Center is located at 2424 West 5th Street, Suite 102 in Duluth, Minnesota. That's every Friday from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturdays 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Family Freedom Center, lift your head up. This is Henry Banks with People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. We close the show today with a celebration of music representing the African and African heritage diaspora. June is Black Music Month in America, proclaimed on June 7, 1979, by then President of the United States, Jimmy Carter. Have a great evening and a great weekend.
You believe in freedom, cannot rest until it comes. We'll believe in freedom,
cannot rest.
Hear me talking to you. We'll believe in freedom,
cannot rest until
the killing of black men. Sons is as important as the killing of white men. White mother sons, we who believe in freedom
cannot rest.
Sing it with me if you like it. We who believe in
freedom
cannot rest. The older I get, the better I know that the secret of my going on is when the reins are in the hands of the young who dare to run against the storm. 'Cause to me, young people come first. They have the courage where we fail. And if I can but shed some light, I may carry us through the gales. We who believe in freedom
cannot rest.
Hear me talking to you. We who believe in freedom
cannot rest.
And struggling myself don't need a whole lot. I've come to realize that teaching others stand up and fight is the only way my struggle survives. I'm a woman who speaks in a voice, and I must be heard. At times I can be quite difficult.
you see me, honey, get love again. And you know I got the blues, but I don't know what to do. Sometime I wonder, yeah, what I'm gonna do. And you know I got the blues, but I don't know what to do. Sometime I feel like screaming, yeah, lies again. And you know I got the blues, but I don't know what to do. When you see me walking, hey, with my head down, know I got the blues, but I don't know what to do. Sometimes I feel like hopping, yeah, like a kangaroo. And I got the blues, but I don't know what to do. Let me tell you something, yeah, what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna catch a jet plane, gonna fly on way past town. Sometime I wonder, yeah, what I'm gonna do. I want to tell you one thing, but I won't be back no more. Sometimes I feel like singing, yeah, like I can. And you know I got the blues, but I don't know what to do. When you see me walking, hey, talking to myself, and you know I got the blues, but I don't know what to do. Sometimes I feel like crying, yeah, lies again. I got the blues, but I don't know what to do. That's it.